Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Sarah and Vinny's Secret Show Classics. Any great secret really should be told more than once, just like the first time. The Secret Show is not for everyone and should only be enjoyed by those over the age of 18. The Secret Show Classics. Always available at RadioAlice.com.
I got a little secret I think you want to know. A dirty little secret about a secret little show.
Go back and clean it up afterwards. So
yeah,
yep, exactly. Yep.
There you go.
We're just talking about blood and so.
Oh, good.
What a combo!
Welcome to the show, everyone. Yeah. It's the blood show. Sarah and Vinny's Secret Show for the 10th of September 09. With us in the studio, Ryan Shuck and, am I saying Shuck right?
Shuck? Yes, Shuck. Shuck.
Okay.
Shuck.
And Chester Bennington. Mm-hmm. Now, currently, both of the band, Dead by Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, but Julian Kay and Orgy. Uh-huh. and Linkin Park.
Yes.
And these guys went bananas when they heard you were coming in. I was like, yeah, I've heard of those guys. Thank you.
So I appreciate that. Bananas is good.
He likes bananas.
Yeah, now, so the conversation to this point, as we've been getting settled in the room, is all about nutrition and whether or not fudge would be a good thing to eat this
right.
morning.
It's how many carbs do you eat? Blood and bananas and almond butter.
Almond butter is a big topic of discussion.
It is.
Yes.
And Ryan was going on about, actually, Vinny every day brings almonds down here because Vinny's very careful about his diet. He's not crazy like the two of you appear to be with this.
What do you mean?
That
sounds completely like you're normal.
They're calling. Wait. You're calling them crazy about just their diet?
Ryan tells me every 19th meal I eat some carbs. I'm like, really? Because
I have carb load every 19th meal.
So you have a little macaroni or something?
No. No, it's a specific order that you take all the food in. So I'll start with green beans.
Oh, you are? Crazy.
Yeah, awesome.
No, he is crazy.
That is great.
Oatmeal after that.
I'm an oatmeal fan.
But it must be steel cut.
Yeah, that's a steel cut.
The steel cut is the way to eat it
this guy
so
was at like Red Robin and was like for breakfast. Now, Red Robin, everybody knows, is like a hamburger place.
It's a burger joint.
I mean, it's a hamburger place. He's like, yes, I'd like some kiwi and strawberry sliced, and if you, some oatmeal, steel cut preferably. And the lady was like, you want a freaking hamburger? Or like, you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? Well, just ask the chef. And she's like, there's no chef here. There's a cook in the back.
Yeah. There's a dude filling in.
I pulled in like the Bible Belt, Middle America. Like, I'll come in and I'm like, I always
try to
like
work looking you
the
up
menu.
And down.
Yeah.
Can I at least get some just steamed vegetables? And they're like, French fries? How's that work for you?
Yeah. Well, it's not steamed, but
it's
guess.
It's got to be hard on, I mean, if you guys do a lot of touring and places away from where you are able to get
I
your
left
own
this
food
on
together.
This last tour with a huge bag of pre-cooked chicken breast. That's how bad I am. And a whole pack full of almond butter. Because honestly, almond butter and chicken breast, I can exist on. All the other stuff can be filler. I can get broccoli somewhere a couple times a day. I can get, like, say I'll find one restaurant that can give you some vegetables.
Yeah.
Then I'll buy a bunch of them for the entire day. Or, like, when we were in Washington, D.C., and I was like, Whole Foods! ran over there.
He's like, yeah, check it out. Look at all this rotten fruit in this place. It's amazing what happens when you don't buy when you buy organic. It's amazing.
But I don't care about organic. I actually don't care about organic. But at least the Whole Foods, like you get some vegetables like right? In that bakery
yeah,
section
Yeah, they're
kind of
like already rotting on the shelf.
The pre-rot, exactly. It's almost like they're cooked.
Like,
they're so soft.
It's like, this is so fresh and yummy. You get it home and it's like decomposed in your bag.
Yeah,
you're like,
I'm actually, yeah, I have no problem with a little bit of treatment.
I like preservatives.
Chemical treatment.
This is
like
shocking it. Because you guys are rock stars. Yeah. You realize that we would expect. Now, is this newfound health? Is this?
We both come from a very
unhealthy.
Abusive,
yeah, we don't like. Yeah, we're actually learning to love ourselves.
We
now.
Were we were toxic Avengers. Like that is who we are. Now we just have to eat right and work out a lot to look like that. We're on crystal meth and drinking our brains out.
Interesting. Interesting. So, yeah. So you've aimed the same energy you had for for. Practically killing yourself at
absolutely
saving yourself. Yep. Is what
absolutely,
you're
and that may kill us too.
Right,
but we look way cooler doing it. We look a lot better.
You guys do look hot. I gotta say. So I was walking down the hall with Ryan. I'm like, oh, cool guy. He's got the mohawk. He takes out. I'm like, oh, look at that tiny little waist in those legs.
Yep.
How you doing
and
over there, Mr. Tattoo?
And she was like, hey, you guys want to come with us? And we're like, yes.
That's right. We get off the elevator. We're like, oh, we're supposed to interview you guys this way. Come on. Come
All
on.
I know is
you
that the
go?
Door opened and a couple girls got out and said, do you want to come with us? And really, Chester looks. He's like, uh-huh.
Okay.
I'd love to. Like Here autopilot. Just kicks right in.
I get into like a dumb, anytime I'm in, band mode, I kind of basically do whatever I'm told. I'm like a sheep. I'm more like a dog. It's like,
so it wasn't that Yuzette and I were special. It was that someone just said, come this way.
Well, it was,
and
no,
your girls.
You went bloody I'm in.
It was a female voice and the fact I'm in band mode, which basically makes me like a dog.
Point and snow.
Yes. Okay. That's what happens to me.
Well, you do get led around. I mean, there's no way you can keep track of your own schedule and still, have this macrobiotic
thing. I go
home
and find out that I'm like, I'll get up in the morning and I'll wander around for an hour and a half or so and I'll be like, what am I supposed to do? Why is no one telling me what to do right now? And then I realize, oh, I have to make my own decisions right now. Now, we're not automatons, but... You
pretty close.
Can act like it's something we can.
What's funny is I have four boys at home, and
you do.
I have four children. Yes, I know it's amazing. I actually,
I'm one of them.
Sweet.
Yes, and so when I get home, my oldest boys live really close to my wife and I, and we're very close with their mother and their stepdad. And so I'll get home and Elka is her name and she'll come up to me like, so Chester, like, do you like know, like we're going to be doing, it's like, do we get is it Thursday that we're picking the kids up from school or Friday? And I look at her and I go, why are you serious? Like, you're seriously asking me this? Like, I don't even know your name right now. You're gonna need to write this down. Like I just got back from tour and literally I've had my ass for like about 5 weeks. I can barely put my own shoes on right now. And now you want me to know, you're asking me.
I'm a rock star, man.
Like, who's going, like, what time the recital is on Saturday? I don't know.
It's like a rock widow, though. I'm feeling for Elka. Like, this is a woman who's having to hold the together while you're out,
And also, yes, and my beautiful wife as well. She helps out.
Elka's ex-wife.
We weren't even married.
Okay.
We just kind of like...
The mother of his children.
Okay.
Two of his kids. Two of the kids?
Well, we have one child together, okay. But I basically am like her other son's dad as well.
Oh, okay.
So, we're great friends. We were always, we were like best friends in high school, and then we had sex, and then we were like, oh, crap, there's a kid. And then it was, it turned out to be great. And now we're just still friends. So, but it's funny because I kind of have set the rule, which is basically if it doesn't have to do with what I'm doing in my band, then pretty much don't ask me what's going on because that takes up most of my time.
Right.
You
full-time,
know what I mean?
Full-time gig.
Right. Yeah, that's why I need baby mamas. I have to have baby mamas to handle all the other things.
They could even live together like in a harem situation, and then they'd all be able to take care of the
various I do it the legal way. See, I impregnate them and then leave them, and then I can still be friends with them and hang out. Right?
It sounds horrible, but it seems to work for
really
you.
It sounds really horrible when I put it that way.
Right.
He's taking what a good guy he is, and seriously, super awesome dude for the how he is with his family and with all of his this whole situation and turning it into a total rock star.
I'm trying to make myself sound really bad, but I'm actually
really
not.
Bad.
He's
yeah,
a good
I love
boy.
It.
I'm actually,
no,
I'm actually really nice.
He
takes care of his own.
It's very hip hop in our world. We roll hard like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And let's go back to let me ask you something. So let's go back to in high school you have this girlfriend and you have you guys get pregnant. You said it.
We're like 19. She might have been 20, I think.
And so you're a musician at the time.
Yeah, I've been in bands since I was like 13, 14 years old.
Did you ever win a battle of the bands when you were a kid in high school?
I actually won the talent contest as a vocalist. I sang a Depeche Mode song a cappella.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
I believe I sang Question of Lust.
Okay, we would love to hear some of that now. That would be Chester.
You know, I just bragged on it. I just bragged about how I can sing any time.
In the morning.
You just won. You just won that contest.
I'll sing it for you later.
Okay,
sing it for
you
later.
Yeah, warm up.
Okay, so then I'm trying to get out of you a little bit of the path to success where you're at now. So followed this.
Well, I've been in a band since I was like 13, 14 years old. And, you know, I did have, Elka was a girlfriend of mine in high school. And we broke up and we got back together to party. And apparently I fell into that 2% or something where the condom doesn't work or whatever. I don't understand what happened.
Right.
So, but we actually didn't know that, I didn't know that she had my son for quite some time.
Oh, really?
Right. So, because we kind of like, I went and I got married and I had my own life and I was like, you know, out doing my thing.
Oh
with the
my
band.
God,
oh,
man.
So I didn't actually meet my son until he was like 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then I met him and I met his little brother and I was just like, and they were both just like, Dad! And I was like, okay, you're mine and you have blonde hair and blue eyes, so you're not. Mm. I could tell right away. And Jamie looks just. It like looks just like me and a perfect combination of me and my mom. It's like the craziest thing.
Yeah.
Were you mad at Elka for not telling you?
Well, there's some history there, but it you know, it worked out in the long run to be a really great situation.
Right.
And so but it took some time. You know, it took time and it was a little crazy, but at the same time, we kind of had a feeling that I might have had a child with her since he was like 3. So it was like this long period of like, what's going on? So we finally found out, and then I'd been married. So my ex-wife and I have a son together. Okay, and so that was very normal,
right? Sure.
And then I ended up getting divorced, and I got remarried, and my wife and I have a son together.
And so is Linkin Park happening?
Yeah, yes. Through all this, yeah. So I got remarried 5 years ago, and I was married for almost 10 years before that. And so,
and Linkin Park is like maybe 99.
And I joined Linkin Park in early 1999, and we released our first album.
Linkin Park.
I released our album in 2000. So before that, I had released 2 albums in Arizona with a band called Gray Days, and we just done that independently ourselves. So, I mean, you know, that's my personal life. And then as this all was going on, you know, I was trying to become a musician and trying to be. Trying to make music for a living.
Do the Gray Days, is that the name of the band?
Yeah.
Do those sell, do you continually have to make more runs of those because
you know,
fans of
we
can,
none work? Of us in the band know what's going on with that because we are all just kind of, the only people that still talk are me and my friend Sean Dowdell, who I own Club Tattoo with.
Where's Club Tattoo?
Club Tattoo, we have four locations in Arizona. And then we have one in Las Vegas as well.
And is it an what
it's
is
an
it?
Actual tattoo studio.
We have in Vegas right after this.
Yeah,
actually,
so
to get tattooed.
We've been in business for like 15 years. And so, but, you know, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
You know, so, but we're the only ones that still talk. We're the only ones that still talk that, you know, used to be in that band together. I think there's still copies being made, but they're definitely all like not official records that we've made, and we don't know where the money goes. So, but we don't really care,
right?
You know, and so I ended up, you know, moving out to California and joining this band called Zero, and you know, I knew right away when I got the tape, I was like, I listened to the instrumental side and I sang over it, and it was very easy to come up with melodies to the songs. So I was like, something's telling me this is it. So I went to, I quit my job. I got it on Friday, quit my job on Monday, went to LA.
How do you get that. This tape from some band called
Because
Zero.
I was in Grade A's. Because I was, I actually, so we played for like, and... we played for hundreds of national acts. We actually drew like 2,000 people a week to a local venue. So we were actually a pretty big band, even though we hadn't ever gotten signed. So like in our area, we were like huge, you know? So, okay. So, you know, we ended up getting an entertainment lawyer in LA who tried to get us a record deal. And that didn't work out very well. So what ended up happening was I'd kind of made myself a name in the industry, and when Zero, which is basically Linkin Park without me, had a different singer, that singer didn't work out, and they were looking for a new singer, and there's a lot of hype around this band. They had a huge, like, multi-label thing where everybody came down to watch them play, and the vocalists kind of tanked. So, mm-hmm. But the band was very talented. So the guy that they'd signed a publishing deal, and the guy that signed them knew that there was promise with this band that they needed a new singer. So he was at South by Southwest in Texas talking to Zero's lawyer, who happened to be partners with the guy that represented Grade A's. And he was like, I know the guy. And so he found me. I hadn't talked to him for probably eight or 9 months or whatever. He called me and said, hey, are you still doing music? And I was like, no, it pretty much sucks. And I hate everyone in Arizona.
You were so let down by the whole.
And, you know, like, no one's ever going to come out here. So I now have a real job and I hate my life.
What were you doing?
I was scanning maps.
Oh.
It was a horrible thing. It was a waste. The great thing was that one of my good friends and neighbors was my boss. So, like, at least I had someone there to keep me from literally going insane. But it was tough. And I was like, you know, so I'm not doing anything right now. And he's like, well, you know, I have this band and I think they could really go somewhere. And I was like, okay, well, how old are these guys? Like, well, they're like kind of like still teenagers. And I was like, dude, you know, I had two homes at that time and I was like married and had a job. And I was just like, I don't know, man. You know, like, this sounds like it's going to be a waste of my time. And he's like, just check it out. So.
So he's talking you that was, into that was just Thursday. Listening yeah. to it.
That was Thursday, and I was like, this better not be a waste of my time. I was actually really cocky about it, which is the first time I was ever really kind of a jerk about anything. And I was like, oh, I don't know. So he sent it to me. And one side had vocals on it. The other side just had the band. And I listened to the band side first with no vocalist. And I was like, this stuff is actually really cool. And it's very different, and I hadn't heard anything like it. And I was like, this is awesome. And I looked at my wife at the time, and I said, I think this is the one. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. She's like, I don't know. And so we flipped the tape over, listened to it with the vocals, and I was like, Because I was never really into it. I loved hip-hop music, but I wasn't like into... I really wasn't into like Limp Bizkit or anything like that, and they were kind of just blowing up at that time. And I was like, I don't know, you know, but
because that was the direction were looking to go. And
well, it was different though. It wasn't like that. It actually was very intelligent, and it was really, it wasn't like Limp Bizkit, which is why I was like, okay, I can see that this could work. So then I turned it back over to the other side and I started singing the parts, and I was like, I can do this. And so I threw a birthday party for myself the next day, and I left. Said, have a good time at the party, and went and recorded the demo of my vocal of their songs over their music. And then on Sunday, called up the number of this guy named Jeff Blue, who was their representative at the publishing company, and said, hey, you guys sent me, I'm Chester, you sent me a demo. I'm finished with it. He's like, what do you mean you're finished with it? I just sent that thing 2 days ago. I was like, yeah, I got it. I did my recording of it, and I'm finished with it. He's like, whatever. And I was like, no, seriously, like I, because he didn't believe that I had actually done it, because he'd like sent stuff out and it had taken months to get stuff back from other guys. And so,
did you have a home studio?
No, I had friends that had studios. So I called up a friend and was like, hey, I need to use your studio. Can you book me in? How much can you? And I don't have much money. He was like, I'll get $100 an hour. We were there for 3 hours, paid him $300, and was in and out. And so,
wow.
And so then I was like, well, you know, I want to know when I can come out. I was talking to Jeff, when can I come out and do this thing? And he's like, I have to hear it first, so why don't you send it out here? I'm like, I am not sending this tape blindly to you, not knowing if you're even going to listen to it. So I'm telling you, like, when do you want me out there? I can be there Monday morning. He's like, I need to listen to it first. And I was just like, you know what? Hold on. And I walked up to my – I put the tape in my stereo, pressed play, held the phone up, played about 30 seconds, came back down. I go, is that good enough? And he was like, when can you be here?
Nice. Like, oh, my God. That is an awesome story.
Awesome.
I was like, I'll be there Monday morning. So I get on I drive to California, and I'm there. And I'm thinking, you know, because I had a real job. I was like, people get to work at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's
so
when
I'm
it
there
happens.
At 8:30 on the steps of the 9000 building on Sunset Boulevard. And I'm like, there is no one here. And I'm – is this how LA is? Like no one – like everyone's out doing something but no one's actually working. I was like, how does this work? Like how is this like a huge economy here? I don't understand. So around 11 o'clock is where they open the doors. And I was like
– oh, my God.
I was already really pissed off. And, you know, so then that's how it started. I, you know, got in the office, met Jeff, and he starts calling up label guys. Listen, I got a new singer. He's like playing all the stuff. And I'm like, so he's already setting up, you know, showcases. And I was like, I haven't
and you
even
haven't even
talked,
met the band.
I haven't met the band yet.
What if I
and,
hate them?
And then the guys from the band were just kind of like really overly like, they examined me. And tested me.
Oh.
And so, like, and they were, like, you know, very inquisitive and like, constantly questioning everything. You know,
were
who
they,
are you? Where are you from? What are you doing?
And dickish a little bit. Like,
well,
seeing if you
no,
could.
It was just very thorough. Now that I went in the beginning, it felt dickish.
Right.
But now I just know that this is the way these guys are. And right. I actually appreciate it. So, but it was very strange to be doing, you know, here I am rehearsing with the band. And then, hold on, we have to wait, you know, and then another guy would come in and audition. And I'd sit there and watch and just kind of laugh and be like, I'm like looking at these guys going like, and the thing is when I talked to Jeff on the phone, I was like, you guys better not be wasting my time. Cause if I show up there you guys need me. I'm not the one who needs you guys.
Right.
And I was really dicky about it. I was just like, you know, like you called me. I didn't come searching you guys out.
Right. Right.
You know, like I've got an offer from Michael Schenker to go to Japan. You know, like, I don't need to
oh,
be
really?
Dicking around with you guys. And which I wasn't going to take, but it was true.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was just like, I don't need to.
So they
you know.
Were bringing in other singers to audition while you were
right. Well, they had
there?
Already booked their
oh,
appointments.
They had booked it.
So
okay.
that in their mind, they were like, well, we have to, you know, we have to just
honor our commitments.
Honor well, our commitments.
You know what, though? I get that they would want to see yeah. you shine above the, anyone, any yeah. competition
sure.
they could bring in.
The funny
in.
Thing is, they're still the same. They're picky.
Yeah.
Like, they really, they're thorough. They're actually great businessmen.
Are you like that?
I'm actually.
Do you fit right
I'm very.
In, you're
I'm very.
And...
I'm very guts guy.
Oh,
so like, I'm in there going. I'm in there watching these other guys. I'm just like, I can't believe that we're actually playing multiple songs with this guy. Because one, he sucks. He looks like an idiot, and I'm way better than that guy. And so like. Then at one point, we were rehearsing, and you know we were rocking out up there, and this guy comes up, and he's like knocks on the door, and he's like. You're here for the audition? And I was like, oh, by this time I was like, already, I was just like, yeah, come on in, dude. Go ahead, take the microphone. And he just grabs the microphone and he goes, I'm just going to say this right now. If you guys don't take this guy, you're idiots. And he hands back the microphone and he's like, see you later. And he walks out the door.
Oh, he knew you from your.
No. He just heard.
He heard us
as we were coming up, and so
that's hilarious.
So I walk downstairs. I'm like, hold on, I'll be right back. And I walk downstairs and I catch up with the guy. I'm like, hey, dude, that was you know, you should go back up there. You know, these guys, they haven't made up their mind. Like, you should go up there. And he's like, there's no way I'm going back in that room, singing after hearing you sing. It's like there's no way. If they don't take you, call me up. We should start a band. And I was just like,
that's
play
so funny. No.
And
oh
I was like,
God.
Okay, well, that's cool. I just want to say thanks. That was really, you know, that was really nice of you to say
so
that.
So you crushed his dream that day?
I crushed his dream. I think he actually walked in and was just like, he was the voice that I couldn't have.
Yeah.
He like, you know, must have been something else because he came in and was basically like, I wanted to say, I'm not, because I'd gone home and then come back another week and then gone home and come back. And I was at the point where I was like, I'm not. Coming back. I'm not doing this with these guys anymore. And then he comes in and he's like, says what he says. And I was just like, you know, thank you. Cause I'm the new guy. Like it's not my band, you know? And so that's
right.
how it all started. And,
can't
and,
be saying,
right.
You gotta
so
take me.
There's an extremely long history.
I actually met him because of his voice too. He was they
and
recorded.
Brian, you're a singer. You're the singer for Orgy.
No, I sing a lot in Orgy, but no, okay. I'm not the singer. We had a Twankos argument. To be
is that right?
Going to be the singer of Orgy. Yeah, and we were like, "You're taller, dude. Well, you're pretty tall, you know." And I really want to sing. None of us wanted to sing.
And Jay Gordon, who's the singer for Orgy, is actually a very talented bass player.
Yeah, incredible bass player, like the best bass player you've ever heard.
Now, tell me which members of those bands are in the new project?
Ryan and Amir,
okay,
both who are both guitar players.
Amir is the blonde guy?
Amir is the long-haired, looks like a lady.
Love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so sexy. Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
God.
He is. Yeah. Some Persian pheromone that he emits, because it's ridiculous. That
oh, guy, he's a Persian guy?
He is. Oh, well, he's half Persian.
We have a Persian, too?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they get the...
Yeah. As our Persian waves from the other room.
And there are curtains hanging in that studio right now.
Can you guys hear me?
That's the Persian. That's the Persian effect.
Yeah.
Curtains.
Does your Persian guy bring in a lot of groupies?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
Tell me. Give me a story.
Who? About
the Persian dude, yeah. And the chicks he brings in.
Okay, let's put it this way. MTV Campus Invasion
with
Sugar Ray and Orgy. College campuses across America. Huh?
Was there a video camera running?
I'm sure there was. Actually,
There ever not one these days?
Bad stuff. Back then, it wasn't as common. I mean, it was like, this was like 7 years ago or 8 years ago, and we were both big bands at the time. We're selling 60,000 records a week, you know, and we're playing captive audience, you know, college campuses. We'd pull into college campuses and there'd be signs out on like the sororities that would say like, orgy, have an orgy up here. Or, you know, we're pulling in our bus. Our drummer just goes, told the bus driver, he goes, stop. And the guy's all, he stops. Bobby goes, bye. And he gets out of the bus and walks up to the sorority. We didn't see him till the show. And then stop.
He just comes down
just like that.
Naked and oily. Oh, he's just like, I'm ready to play.
He came back annihilated with like 9 frat girls or sorority girls. Frat girls. That would be pretty good. And then Amir walks up with 2 like twins arm in arm. Like, giving him a kid. Hello. Oh. I'm like, how do you pull that? That's not real. That doesn't really happen in real life.
It happens to Persians.
It does if you're Amir.
It does if you're Amir.
Oh, is it a Persian
thing?
It doesn't happen to Ryan and I.
It doesn't happen to me. Yeah.
Oh, it would happen for you. Shut up. You're married.
That's why we call him the Persian
lion.
You're busy
lion, or the
desert
your
lion.
Calories
yeah,
or whatever.
I call him the desert actually.
The Persian excursion.
No?
Yeah.
I'll take those nicknames, too.
Oh, yeah.
We'll jot those down for you, Newman.
By the way, at the end, when you're all done talking about this, my diet is 1,000 times more extreme than yours.
Yeah, really?
He's a vegan.
And I do coffee enemas.
Every day.
Yes!
Thank you!
Hold on, what's up with that? Do you like, does that make you high?
No, what it does from a medical standpoint is it completely purifies your body.
It purifies your butt.
But you're shooting caffeine directly into like the most absorbent.
Yeah, exactly. It goes past your second sphincter up into your liver.
Do you, because I'm very sensitive to caffeine. Does that, like, make you feel like you just shot cocaine? It's got to feel like that.
It wakes you the up, there's no doubt.
You're just like, oh!
I'm here!
I'm clean!
Coffee enemas? They should start offering that at Starbucks.
Wow. He paid. They should, actually. There should be a hose out back.
A crappuccino. I'll take the crappuccino.
I'll take 2 regular coffees and 1 crappuccino, please.
Oh, yuck.
Just hold it for Brent. Before you hit the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we couldn't believe
vegan?
It either. We come back from vacation. He's like, I just spent $3,000 getting 4 coffee enemas a day.
For 7 days.
What is your problem?
Dude, I'm a new man. I'm rejuvenated.
He's a little bit more cranky, in my opinion.
Don't say those things. Listen, you send your Persian lion desert guy down there, he will be... He'll conquer like he's never conquered before.
Really?
Xerxes has arrived. He comes like clad in gold and he's just like walking around in a loincloth. He's like, oh, we're like, what the hell's going on, Amir? He's like, coffee enema.
Refer to me, Xerxes.
Bow down before your god.
We always thought that he had a harem. I mean, he does have, I shouldn't say this kind of he totally has a harem. I'm this guy's, I mean, he's really amazing. And for like ever since I've known him, hot, hot chicks.
And he's so like,
he's like a cat. Like, kind of doesn't, like, you know, like you try to pet him and he kind of goes away and, like,
he does,
you know.
Seem like, like, honestly, you know? I would have assumed that he was a gay man. I said, oh, he's
well, we
beautiful.
Are all, I'll tell you one thing. We are all gay, except for, I mean, seriously, this band is pretty
well,
gay.
Well, bands are gay.
We just can't shake the girl thing.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with
they're
women.
Everywhere.
But if you came to our houses, I mean, my house is like a 10-page spread in a magazine.
Really?
Oh,
are you
God.
A designer?
Apparently, but it is gay.
Tell her about your house, because she fixes up her house.
I'm all about houses.
I have a mid-century modern Cliff May house. It's all, you know, kind of all floor-to-ceiling glass. You
like
know,
Sinatra would live there.
Exactly.
Who knows what that is? You knew what that
yes,
was?
Yes, I know what that is. Yeah, and absolutely. If it's in L.A., yeah, I know exactly
it's becoming a classic style. It's like a 1950s, 1960s.
They're actually like talking about his area, just the area where Cliff May built these homes. They're like talking like they don't want the owners to change the homes anymore.
They're going to protect
them. They want to preserve it because he actually is a world-renowned architect who built these ranch-style homes for functional family living, yeah. Where like you're the inside, the outside flows into the house, and the house flows into the outside, and it's all kind of an encompassed.
It's really
thing.
Cool.
Is it like an Eichler?
Is yes, that yes,
it is, but
yes,
not
it's,
with
it's
the atrium.
It's very like an Eichler.
It's almost
actually
like with an open back.
An Eichler.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's not like the Eichlers have sort of like the yeah what are
interior
they
courtyard
yeah
atrium
they have that interior
type of...
ours don't but all the houses are set sort of in the backyard
right
and the like my pool's in the front yard
oh
so it's all driveway and fence from the front. It's kind of Hollywood Hills kind of style or Palm Springs style. Like when you drive by and it's just really cool fence and driveway and that's it.
And then
you have
see
to walk in.
At the house?
You walk in my yard and it's all pool first and the house wraps around the pool and it's all glass.
What's this the floor?
It's really cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
What
it's
do you got on
Beach.
The floor?
Well, I have like a Berber in some rooms, and then I have some like vintage, you know, tile. Like it's actually, is it linoleum? Is that what it is? It's actually like the 1950s tile, but it's really cool looking.
Right.
It's like bone white, and then you know, and there's black in the kitchen. It's really cool.
Can I ask you one quick question? As soon as a chick walks into that house, do her panties just drop right off? I mean, you really have to.
Do her candy
much.
Fruits yeah. fly out yes. of the platter?
Yes,
pretty much.
Yes.
That's what happens.
And
yeah.
so are you.
He puts
are,
down the curtains over the windows.
Oh, yeah.
So you have that house, but you're single?
I actually am kind of newly single. I'm not really
oh.
sure. Yeah.
He doesn't know what was happening
right now.
Tattoo, this is my. I was engaged. See this tattoo?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my. Yeah. That was my engagement ring.
Is it a T?
No, it's an E for
oh.
Emily. Yeah. And she's in Argentina right now. With I own some restaurants, and she's down in Argentina with one of my partners. Sounds weird, huh?
Yeah.
It does sound weird. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
But it's they're friends and we're all friends,
right?
But yeah, she like yeah, like we broke up. Pretty crazy, huh?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Huh.
So I don't know if I'm.
It's kind of sad. I'm gonna cry right now because I
yeah,
I
we're all like
the,
like his wife and him and his wife are me and my fiancés. We're all best friends. You know, I was best man in their wedding, and I introduced him and his wife, and they're like, these guys are best friends of mine for a long time, and it's a big deal. But honestly,
what
a bigger deal will be: am I single in that house? Oh, yeah, I'm a rock star, too. Holy
sh**. Just
hope,
do it for a little while.
I hope
while.
Trojan can crank out enough magnums.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, what are you going to do about that
hey,
tattoo?
Horace, how you doing?
What's that?
What are you going to do about that tattoo?
She's going to
it. Depends.
Keep
it depends on how I can use it to my advantage.
Maybe the next chick you meet is
this
Elizabeth.
This E is for ecstasy.
It actually kind of looks like a T too. So if you meet a Teresa,
yeah, I could you know I could laser it off, or I could leave. You know, I don't
get
know.
A big ring and cover it up.
I don't know if this means I can like it. Free for all for like you know a couple months until we get back together or what. But here's my fear is that I'm going to be like Californication.
Oh,
I texted her and I'm like, dude, really? Because I just got into that show late because we tour, so we
right?
catch up
you
on stuff
on
later.
DVD.
And you know, when you break up, what do you do? And you can't really go out and bang a bunch of chicks and everything because you're depressed and everything. So I'm sitting at home, you know, with my remote control, and I get into Californication, and I'm like, oh my god, blueprint for my life. I like it. I don't
because he's a total sex addict, right? He's like,
well,
what's his
he's
deal?
Just kind of a, you know, he just he's just
he's
I don't
getting
know,
older
he just
and
can't get it. Together
yeah.
and he just keeps making this you know stupid mistakes over and over, which I'm sure I do, and you know, and it didn't seem like he cheated on her at all, but it's certainly when he's single it's just like a free-for-all, you know, but he's really dedicated to her when he's with her but he just is a handful. I'm a handful. Chester's
a handful. Just you guys' diets are a handful. I can't.
Oh no, I'm a job. You know.
Yeah, we're not the easiest people to
well, you know, but we're nice. We're not mean.
Oh, no.
But we're goddamn handfuls.
Yes.
You know.
We need handlers.
Yeah.
You just mentioned the tour thing. So it used to be that you would have what? I don't know, cases of beer and wine or whatever, and now it's the diets have to be maintained at all times while on tour.
Linkin Park had the band writer, okay, which consisted of like granola and juices and teas and stuff like that. Now I'm part of that writer.
Right.
Then I had my own writer, which had to be separate. So the band would travel in one bus, and I would get my own bus and travel in that. That would consist of as much marijuana as I thought I could probably get away with getting on the bus, which could be anywhere from like a quarter pound to about a pound or whatever. And then I would also have like every day I would have two giant bottles of Jack Daniels, two Grey Goose,
Jesus.
And about two cases of beer brought on. And like some cold cuts.
How many years did you do that for?
As long as possible.
So Linkin Park's all like, we're super healthy, and then you've got your own crazy bus.
Now, when you smash the Orgy Rider with the Chester Rider, it was a sight to behold.
But here's the thing. Here's the important part. When I didn't really have people on my bus, so I didn't really, it wasn't like I got all the stuff and then brought a bunch of people to party on my bus. That wasn't the case. What I would do is I would take the weed and I would go around and I'd get everybody really high. That was great. But then I would go to other bands' areas and I'd bring something with me, but I'd party there. And then on the travel nights, I'd sit on my bus and just get wasted. And so that was where it's like, that was the unfun part.
What about your instrument? I mean, they say that that's why singers, you know, burn out and have all these problems because they're smoking
musicians
a lot
in general,
and
like
gargling whiskey.
Yeah, it's not really. You know, people would ask me how do you keep going every day. And I honestly didn't know because I was.
But you were pulling it.
I was a chain smoker. I smoked tons of weed and I drank all the time. And I was like, I actually do everything you shouldn't do. You know, and so like I don't know how my voice held up for that long. But
did you lose it often? Was there ever
an
issue?
No, I never really lost it. I mean, I never lost my voice.
That's why we call him Golden Throat.
Oh. I never lost my voice. There would be times where I'd wake up and kind of go, and like, oh, okay, I've got 8 hours to get my together here.
And did you do little warm-ups throughout the day? Or
I would just start or slamming like Pedialyte and drinking tons of water and, you know, but still smoking weed. It was just like stupid. So I'd still do all that stuff. You know, I never drink during the day before the shows or anything. So like I would just wait till afterwards and then like get us all, you know, squeeze 24 hours worth of drinking into like, you know, a couple hours and then go.
So you had a whole management thing.
It becomes a science project.
And of course, then we get like when bands that I really got along with, like, you know, the guys in Orgy or whoever it was, especially if they liked to party, then we would just sometimes we'd go crazy. Yeah. And like anything could happen.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, there would be some pretty, like, that's when rock star stuff happens. And that's always fun. You know, that's always great.
Tell us some of that stuff.
I am being told that we have about one more minute.
Oh, darn it. We can't tell you. Certainly not enough time.
That sounds like a long story. Hey, this was incredibly fun. You guys are great. And I am just... I'm your newest, biggest fan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We also are in a band.
Yes.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. We're in Dead by Sunrise.
Yeah, right. We do have music out.
I didn't know how you'd be to talk to today because you look really scary.
I am a scary guy.
Yeah.
I'm a scary guy.
A little bit. No, but in real life, you just, like, I even took a picture of you.
Right. I'm like the cowardly lion.
You have such a sweet little face. It's so sweet.
I'm like a lion. You see me, I'm like a lion, and then you get near me, you talk to me, and I'm just like, oh,
no. And Ryan, too, I was just walking down the hall with him. Musette and I are like, okay, we love this guy. Like, blah, 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 yapping away. So this was awesome. You guys, I don't assume that there's tour plans yet, but if you come back through town.
We've got some stuff coming up. Yeah. We're working on solidifying some dates. We are playing an MTV show on the 23rd with AFI and Paramore.
Like your first live?
It's going to be.
Well, I don't know if it'll be our first one at that point. I don't know the schedule by 100%, but you know, we're going to be doing some other like some TV show stuff, and we're working on putting a few dates before those shows, so that we don't just walk out on national television and try to play our first full set,
right?
You know, on it live on TV.
Right.
So, but, you know, there's going to be a couple shows. And then after that, that's when things will start picking up, probably like around November, December and January is when things will start really kicking in.
Well, good luck with the new project.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. This was great.